I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts. If you have your Bible open in the book of Acts, we're standing alongside the Apostle Paul again as he testifies and speaks of what he believes in Acts chapter 24. We shall begin again with verse 14 as we're dealing with this series of messages on the testimony of a true Christian. When you and I say, I am a Christian, that should answer a thousand questions for people. In other words, there should be such clarity about Christianity and such clarity about the way we live the Christian life that people know when we say, I am a Christian, that has definite effect and definite meaning concerning our lives. So we're taking these one thing at a time that we find in Paul's testimony here before kings. And in Acts chapter 24, we're dealing with the Christian and his hope. The Christian is hope. I want to be a hopeful person. I don't want to live constantly in a sense of discouragement. I want to live a hopeful life. And you notice, please, there are many people who say they are hopeful people and they have hope, but the life they live is not giving evidence of that. Let's ask God to make it real. In Acts chapter 24, beginning with verse 14, the Word of God says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So this is a subject that Paul brings to the attention of his accusers. And of course, if you're in the habit of marking things, we're dealing with verse 15 with the word hope. And he said, and have hope toward God. That's a wonderful way to express it, to have hope toward God. Do you have hope toward God? Of course, we'll come back here in just a moment, but I want you to hold your place here and let's turn back in the Old Testament, if you would please, to the 62nd Psalm, to Psalm 62. Sometimes when we're studying the Bible and trying to find the meaning of something, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, God gives us some insight on that particular subject. And so I bring you to the 62nd Psalm, and the Word of God says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowling wall, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency, they delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God. And what I want to bring you to is this expression. For my expectation is from him. He says to these, you're going to be like a wall that's bowing. People look at it and say, how can it stand? It won't. You're going to be like other things that people imagine. Tottering fence. People look at it and say, that's something that can't continue, and it won't. And he's comparing people to these things. And then he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. The word expectation is connected to the word hope. What is your expectation? My expectation, the psalmist says, is the Lord. I've developed this attitude about life, that God will come through. The Lord will work this out. He is the answer. I may be surrounded by bowing walls and tottering fences. I may have people who are trying to do things that I know are not right. And I learn not to trust in them and to think that I should be afraid of them. Because as he begins the psalm, he says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation or deliverance. And then he says again in verse 5, my expectation is from him. It's from him. When we deal with the subject of hope, we're not just dealing with a word and an idea and you say, oh yes, I've got hope. It's a way to live. It's a way to go through life. You live expecting by faith that God is with you. He has not forsaken you. That what you need, he is going to provide. And you're trusting in the Lord. You're not skeptical about everything. Many things may not be working out. Something may disappoint you terribly. The Proverbs tell us that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And we can have such hope in a certain matter, and when it doesn't come through, when we want it to come through, the Bible says it makes us heart sick. But Paul stood in the midst of his accusers and said, my hope is toward God. He was saying, I'm not waiting for your deliverance. I'm waiting for God's deliverance. I'm not waiting for you to smile and say, we're going to take care of you. I already know that I'm in God's hand and he's taking care of me. When the Christian is giving a clear testimony, a true testimony, it is a testimony of hope. And it's a testimony of hopeful living. Before we go back to our text, I want us to go to the book of Hebrews just for a moment and find this expression in context with the matter of faith. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Bible says in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to add to that what we found in the 62nd Psalm. My expectation is of the Lord. What I'm expecting to happen is what God and God alone will do, can do, is going to do. And here he says, my faith is the substance of things hoped for, expected, believed, looking to God for. That's the definition of faith, looking unto Jesus. The evidence of things not seen. Every true Christian is a person of hope if you're living the Christian life. Now back to Acts chapter 24. Paul has declared his worship of the Lord. He's declared his conviction about the Word of God, the Bible. And now he says, and hope toward God. This is where my hope is. My hope is toward God. My hope, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. We have this marvelous thing we do. We take things about the Christian faith and we mention them like a future event, but they have absolutely most of the time have no effect on our daily living. Paul said, I'm standing right here in your presence, and I want you to know my hope is toward God. I know there's going to be a resurrection. I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. And by the way, he says to them, you also believe. He's speaking to the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, didn't believe in life or that type of thing after the death. And he's divided them in the 23rd chapter with this subject of resurrection. But he says to them, I want you to know that not only do I know that I'm going to be resurrected, this is not the end of it all, what's happening here on this earth, I'm going to be resurrected, but that's not only the truth, it affects the way I live my life now. So to say I'm a Christian, I believe God, my expectations of the Lord, and it has no effect on you now. Are you only saying that Christianity only works when you die? It only works at the end? What we believe by faith is true concerning the end of our earthly journey and the resurrection of our bodies from the dead should have a casting backward effect on the way we live now, because the same God who delivers us for the resurrection and gives us a new body like his glorified body, the same God who does that is with us this moment. So I say to you, it's not just something to talk about. It's something to live. You get trouble in your home about something, you get trouble in your job about something, you get trouble in your work in the Lord about something, and you have confidence, you have hope, you have expectation that God is going to take care of it. And it makes a difference in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you deal with things. You move forward. You don't get stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped and have to start again. You live a hopeful life. Something could go wrong with one of your kids, but you live a hopeful life that God is going to somehow work this out. You have something happen in your life, and you have confidence that God, your expectation of him, he is going to work it out. This is a real thing, a living thing. It is an effectual thing. It takes hold of you. Don't worry, don't fret. You know, God is coming through. He will ultimately come through in everything, and he's coming through in this thing. I have hope toward God. I'm looking toward the Lord. And so that drives away some of these feelings we have that we're finished, washed up. This is the defeat. This is going to be our death. This is the killer of all of it. No, not at all. We're hopeful toward God. We have hope toward God. Some of you have gone through tragedy. If weighing it out and you truly weighed it out and thought how serious a matter it was, you've gone through it and you thought when you were in it, this is the end of everything you thought would happen in your life. But if you had hope toward God, you know on that daily basis while you're in the midst of it that the Lord somehow, some way is going to come through. God's not going to let me perish in this. My hope is toward God. This is the kind of life I live. Not some moment. This is the kind of life I live with hope toward God. On more than one occasion, Paul gives descriptions of his peril. Things he's gone through. He even lists how many times certain things happened to him. Maybe it's one of those incidents when he's floating on a piece of driftwood for days out in a shipwreck. It wasn't just knowing someday he's going to be resurrected. What he knew to be true about God made him hopeful while he's hanging on in the middle of the sea. Amen. Let's take a New Testament illustration of that, would you please? Let's go in the book of Acts, if you'll turn there with me, please. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's on board a boat, and there is trouble at sea. And the Bible gives us a description of it. In the 27th chapter, if you'll have your Bible open, the book of Acts. I'm just trying to make one point, just one point. It's not something we just talk about. It's something we live on a daily basis. The Bible says, in verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You see that verse? The closing part of verse 20 in Acts chapter 27. But the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's a future event. It's going to happen someday. God said it's going to take place. Just like Paul said, we're going to be resurrected. That's going to happen someday. That's on God's calendar for me and for you. But he said, that has an effect on my life right now, because I believe God and God is with me now. When others had given up all hope that they should be saved, God spoke to me and God dealt with me and God enabled me to live a hopeful life. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I are living in perilous times. And we have a media process that is coming at us 24 hours a day. At any moment, in any day, you could hear horrible news as if you're right there getting it as the first audience whose ears hear it, and you are responding to it. What do we have internally? What do we know about God? What do we believe about His Word? What have we anchored and fixed in our faith that allows us and enables us to be hopeful in all of this? Maybe you're involved in something in a ministry, like some ministry that we have here in the college or in the church, and you get bad news and you think you're shipwrecked now, or someone you love is shipwrecked. If you have hope toward God, you know God will work this out some way, somehow. The Lord will come through in this. Now you think about that. Some of you I'm speaking to are having some big issues to deal with, and you think they're so confusing and there's so much compoundedness in them, layer upon layer of things to be dealt with, but take hope toward God. The Lord can enable you to be hopeful in all that, because He lives and He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. Be hopeful. Just be hopeful. The Christian and his hope. I say to my wife, let's not worry about that. Let's not talk about it all the time. Let's not discuss that any longer. God knows about it. The Lord will see us through. He has something He's working on. We can put our faith in Him, and we must remove our expectation from some person and what we want them to do, and put our expectation back on the Lord and what He's able to do in their lives. Now, some of you are very frustrated toward a life's mate or toward a worker, a co-worker. And somehow or another you get built up about what this person ought to be doing and what he should have done and what she should have done, and they didn't do right. And if you can dwell on that, you can just bury yourself in it. But God wants you to put your mind and heart on Him, that He is your expectation and He knows all about it. And He's not going to leave you like an orphan. God Himself is going to come through as you wait on Him. The Bible says, let none be ashamed that wait on the Lord. Wait on him, and he will come through. Wait on him. The Christian and his hope. Let me give you some other verses I think that will help you if you'll write them down and ask the Lord to speak to your heart about them. As we travel through the Bible in the Old Testament, there's an example. And this is the world in which we live today. In the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, God calls on Jeremiah to see something, to do something. And the word of God says, the word of the Lord, in verse 1, came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And he goes to Jeremiah and explains to Jeremiah as he sees this potter's vessel marred and made over again. We all need to know that God can do that. So I messed up. I'm sorry you messed up, but God can unmess you. You say, somebody I love messed up. I'm sorry. I've known a lot of people who've messed up. But God can make them over again. That's what he's able to do. So Jeremiah took this message to the people. And I want you to notice how they framed their response. In verse 11, God's word says, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. There is no hope. Now, when you're reading the Bible, you have to know who's speaking and to whom they're speaking. These people who have turned from God, who have given themselves the responsibility to do everything the way they want to do it, have found no hope. But God is still saying, he's the potter, we're the clay. And there is hope. There certainly is hope. And when something is messed up and someone is messed up, we just need to believe that God can make them over again. And I'm looking at some people that have been made over again. And the Lord's done a beautiful thing, making you over again. I think that's a precious passage of Scripture that all of us truly, truly need. I want to show you something again. If you turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Titus, to chapter 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Notice the expression in verse 2, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God has made a promise to us concerning eternal life. Our expectation is of the Lord. I don't know if I can do this. Good. But no, God can. I don't know what will ever become of this person. No, you don't. But God is able to make something beautiful out of him and out of her. I want you to learn as a Christian to live a hopeful life, because your expectation is not what people can do with themselves. Your expectation is in God and what God can do with them. Now we find one of the most defeated men in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. He's really messed up. He's the fellow who bragged and said, I'll tell you one thing, it doesn't matter what the rest of them do, I'm going to take a strong stand for Jesus. You can count on me. I'm taking my stand for the Lord. And when he failed and failed miserably, the Lord Jesus said to him in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, Peter, when you're converted, when your life is changed, I want you to strengthen the brethren. And so God gave him the first and second epistles of Peter to write to strengthen the brethren. Amen. And there's an open secret as we began in 1 Peter, and I want you to look at it. I want you to think of Peter broken, denying Jesus before a little maid, all his plans and dreams ruined. It's not going to work out the way he planned. Now, what can he do? It's not what he can do, it's what the Lord can do as we look to the Lord. And so he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Then you come to the third verse in the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope. We lost it. We misplaced it. It makes me want to stop and testify how many times my mother said something like this to me. She said, your daddy's locked up in jail in Clinton, Tennessee. They arrested him in Lake City. And we're going to the judge's house tonight. I remember it well. And I'm going to knock on his door. And when I knock on his door, I want you to cry. And she said, I believe if we'll all stand there and cry, they'll let him out of jail. I think sometimes I could find the house. Well, we didn't have to be coached to cry. And the judge didn't come to the door, his wife did, which was better. Sympathetic woman. And there I stood with my mother when the door opened and my little brother. And my mother started crying. Of course, then we both started crying. And we explained to this woman in her housecoat that my father had been locked up and we didn't have anything to eat. And we wanted to plead with her husband to let him out of jail. Well, to make the long story short, he got out that night. And over and over again, those kinds of things happened, over and over again. My brother and I got all excited about going to school in the second grade. We were driving to Greenback School in the second grade. I remember crossing a railroad track. My dad turned the car around and said, I'm not going to take you to school today or any time this year. You boys can take the whole year off. Now, we were pretty excited about it. But when we got back home and told my mother, it's a different story. We didn't go to school at all, the whole year. Finally moved to Maryville, and I talked to someone who had Miss Burns for a teacher. Today, I talked to someone, and I got Miss Burns for a teacher. And God put my life back together as a child, over and over and over. And I don't know how this happens, and I want you to pray that it continues to happen. I don't know how this happens. But I have managed to go through life keeping a hopeful attitude. Somehow this will work out. Somehow we're going to get there. Somehow good will come out of it. Somehow God will take care of it. Somehow the Lord knows this is happening and he'll break through and take care of what we can't take care of. You'd just be amazed when evil rears its ugly head up and wants to do something, how many times you need a hopeful life to believe you don't have to take a hammer and beat it in the head, God will come through and do it for you. Amen. Your hope must be toward God. Now look at Peter. Defeated, ruined, bragging what he could do. And he cowered in front of a little woman. Life ruined. But he said, I have been begotten. I have been, in that sense, brought to life again with a living hope again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I've seen the resurrected Lord. And I now have a hope that's been restored to me. Now, when Paul stood to give his Christian testimony in front of these bloodthirsty people, he said to them, and I have hope toward God. How? Which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The resurrection of the dead has kept my hope alive. If God is able to raise the dead, tell me what he cannot do. There's nothing he can't do. And you may feel like a dead person sometimes while you're still alive, but God can raise the dead. There is hope. There is hope. And you think about the resurrection of Jesus. Get your heart and mind set on the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. Let the Christian hope that we have the Lord bring you back to life, spring you to your feet, and help you to know the answer that you need is on the way. Let's pray together, maybe.